Jesus is better. It's time to leave Judaism and fully embrace Jesus. And in the book of Hebrews, he goes over, it's written to a Jewish audience that is facing persecution and difficult things. Read Hebrews chapter 13. We're just going to read the first three verses. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. And them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. And so what Paul is doing here is he has set forth for 11, 12 chapters how Jesus purchased us and how his one sacrifice was all that was needed. There was no reason whatsoever to go back to Judaism, to go back to the priesthood, the temple, and the sacrifices. And so since Jesus is better and he's our example and he gives all those examples, we received a kingdom that cannot be moved, but there's still something that God wants you to do. He created us unto good works. Now, just like Jesus, he worked from who he was for our good. He worked from his identity. He didn't work to achieve an identity. When you're saved, you work from salvation to the good of people, and you're doing that, but you're not doing it in order to gain favor with God. One of the traps that a lot of Christians fall into is the trap of trying to achieve their identity or achieve acceptance or be pleasing to God by doing all these different things. Now, so we have to have a balance. We have to understand that we are accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there still is some things that God wants us to do. And so what Hebrews chapter 13 is, it is practical Christianity. We're created unto good works. And so this, if you need a list, if you need something to focus on, if you need something to do, a practical guide of how to move forward with this so great salvation, and what does that look like? Now that you're saved, now that you're born again, what does that look like in the day-to-day life? Well, that's what Hebrews chapter 13 is. It's how to apply this. Okay, so look at verse 1. And this is a small verse, but it's a very important verse. Let brotherly love continue. Okay? So for it to continue, it first has to exist. It can't continue if it doesn't exist. And if it exists, it has to be let, it has to be allowed to continue. So you have to keep going in the faith. You have to keep interacting with people. You cannot obey this verse by yourself, at home, in your pajamas. You can't. It can only be applied in the setting where you're around other believers. Let brotherly love continue. Before salvation, if you think about the Jews for a second, has anybody ever known Jewish people, lived around Jewish people? Okay, you can watch videos of this. They're a very community-oriented people. They have all these feasts. They have all these celebrations and bar mitzvahs and all of these things. And it's very, very community-oriented. I was talking to Brother Moreno's father, who works in New York City as a sheetrock installer. And what they do is they'll go into this area, they'll buy the whole block of houses. And the rabbi lives on that block, and then everybody supports and everybody works together. And they're always involved in this community. And so, you know, they had this connection. And many of us, before we got saved, you know what we did? We had a connection. And maybe that connection was from the neighborhood. These are the people I grew up with. I still see that in my neighborhood. People come back, I grew up here and we used to do this together and with these kids. And they have that connection based on location. Some people have it from their school. But the Jews had a bigger bond. And they identified themselves not as individuals, but as part of something bigger than themselves. In the U.S., we are so individualistic that it is very hard for people to fathom this idea of being connected to a community and viewing yourself as part of that community and not a piece by yourself. And so they had that. And that bond, he's saying, should continue into salvation. Now maybe it's going to continue with different people, but it must continue. And, you know, we would think of it as a soldier bond. You know, the soldiers are close. These are the people I went to boot camp with. These are the people that I fought with, that I had this experience with. And it molds you together, and it bonds you together in a very distinct and unique way. But I guess the modern way of saying it is, that's my boy. Is that how they see it? Or, these are my peeps. Or you know, he's my homie. But you feel this strong connection with them. So it's like that, except it's pure. Let brotherly love continue. It's from the Lord. And you know, one of my biggest burdens for the church is this idea that the Bible puts forth of oneness. And the Lord talked about it in John chapter 17. He said, just like me and my Father are one, I want you guys to be one. And he gives all these illustrations of the body. You know? And he said, let brotherly love continue. It has to exist. So the problem with, I've noticed from American culture, is that people, they feel like outsiders. And people can, you know, what's incredible is people can go to church for decades together. And they don't feel like they're one. And they don't feel that oneness. And so that's been a burden of mine very early on. And that's what I want to do. I want people to feel that brotherly love and that connection with other people that gives place for vulnerability. That gives place for, hey, I'm struggling with this. I need help with this. Listen, healing can only take place in the context of relationships. Okay? If you think about from the time you were born as a baby, when you got injured and got upset, you know how you healed and you got over that injury? Your mother picked you up and she said, it's okay. I'm here. And through that closeness and that bond. Well, that's how the body of Christ is. It's much like that. You're babes in Christ. The Bible says in Psalm, if you want to write this verse down or look at this verse, it says in Psalm 68 and verse 6, it says, God setteth, Psalm 68, 6, it says, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that are, which are bound with chains, but the rebellious, they dwell in a dry land. So he set you in a family. Do you feel the family connection? And this world, I'm telling you, it's such a dark, wicked place. And the things that people face, you know how the Bible talks about Lot? What did it say about Lot living in Sodom? It said he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their wicked living. It vexed him. It grieved him. It injured him. And he, on the other side of that, did not have the relationship with Abraham and other people to build him up and help him. And so the Bible says you bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I believe one of the reasons that the Lord has showed me this is when I grew up in the Amish community. Okay? And the Amish community, they viewed themselves as part of the community, not as individuals. That's why shunning works in the Amish community, or church discipline, as we would call it. Because to lose your right to come to the group, to lose your right to come to the barn raisings, to lose access to the community support and the community help and the community love was devastating for them. And they would do anything not to lose that. And it was a very powerful thing. And I just remember, as a child, somebody would die. Guess what? The whole community would show up to their house. And somebody would go get ice for the body. Some of the ladies would go, if it was a lady, and they would wash the body and pack it with ice. These are just, they're community members. They're not doctors. And then if it was a man, the men would do that. They would cook food and gather around. They would go dig the grave, because it all had to happen within 24 hours, usually, or not a long time. They would work together with big projects. Any devastating thing that had, they would come together. And you know what? Most Americans have never experienced that. They have never experienced being part of a community, a genuine part of a community. And that's one thing that some of the other cultures that are coming in, they're coming from that, and they're like a fish out of water here. And if you can witness to them and bring them the gospel and help them feel some sort of normalcy or human companionship in that way, it's a big thing. But we have to work together. Sometimes it's easy for people like Brother Alex, but sometimes it's not as easy for people. And we have to notice that. And we have to look around and we have to observe. How are they doing? Do they need to sit down? Do they need to talk? And so this is the heart of the Lord. He said, let brotherly love continue. And God doesn't want us to face things alone. He doesn't want us to do that. You know, with children, a baby is completely dependent on its mother. And then you know what a teenager struggles for? Independence. I'm my own person. And that's good. But you know what the Bible's looking for? It's interdependence. It's I feel like an individual, but I feel connected. And you can go too far on both ways, but that is what. And Paul wanted that to continue. He talks about it over and over. And it is, you know what? It's a mark of discipleship. Did not Jesus say, by this shall you know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. Let's just look at a couple verses. Romans 14 and verse 1 that is maybe helpful with this. Romans 14:1. It says here, the Bible says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. And what would that look like in the New Testament? That would look like, I'm saved, but I still need to keep the law of Moses. That would look like, I'm saved, but I still have to keep these dietary laws. And I still have to keep these feasts, and I still can't eat this certain meat. He said, don't get in an argument with them. That's not what's going to help them. Receive them. They're not going to be helped by your argument, necessarily, at first. All right, Romans 15 and verse 7. Look at this. Receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Can I tell you a secret? We are all sinners. Can I tell you a secret? When you went to the Lord, you were not very lovable. And you came in all dirty. And you know what the Lord said? Come here, son. It's okay. I paid for it. I'll help you with that. I mean, that's powerful. I just think about how the Lord received me. And how can I not receive the brethren and the sisters like Christ received me? In my weakness, in my frailty, in my struggle with sin. You know, there are some sins that took me years to get the victory over. And it was just like, I just remember, God, I'm so sorry. I don't ever want to do this again. And 24 hours later, I'm in the same place. And I said, God, please help me. I don't know what to do. If I can't overcome this, I even said stupid things like, God, take my life if I can't overcome this. I don't want to live this way. And you know what the Lord did? He just kept receiving me. And He kept loving me. And He kept bringing me back. And that's what we have to do with one another. We have to lift one another and encourage and receive them. And that's going to help. As you would your own blood brother. Does it exist? You have to nurture it. You have to foster it. You have to remind yourself about it. You have to protect it. You know what the Bible says? It says charity covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't ignore it. It covers it. It heals it. It helps it. You know, when you hear the news, if you hear about these awful things that people do, if you just put your children's name in there, it sure changes the way you hear the news. And when you hear news and you find out things that people have done, if they are your brothers and sisters in Christ and you think of it that way, it sure changes the way that you hear that. And it changes what you do with it as well. You know, it's not, if you have brotherly love, it's not so easy to write people off. Charity desires the best. And one thing how you can determine between good anger and bad anger is bad anger is said, they did this to me. You know what good anger is? Oh, they did that to the Lord. And it's not about you. Okay, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Continue. What does that mean? Persist in the activity and the prospect, or resume after an interruption. So I want to just take this, because I guess this is just as good of time as any to take this time, and I want to look at, you see that word continue? I want to look at some of the other things in the Bible, if you're okay with that, that God wants us to continue in. And maybe this is a lesson. If somebody ever says, hey, will you preach, or will you teach a lesson, or, you know, you find yourself in one of those situations, this would be a good thing to do. What does God want us to continue in? And so I just want to take this time and look at some of those. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 31. This is a good Bible study you could have with your children. John chapter 8 and verse 31. And I've just looked at some of these things that God wants us to continue in. And I believe that it's very powerful. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Remember, continue means to persist in an activity or a process. It means to resume after interruption. So John chapter 8 and verse 31, the Bible says, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue, it's not your discipleship, your growth, your being mentored and trained by the Lord, that cannot continue without continuing in His Word. You have to continue in His Word. Am I continuing in His Word? Am I sitting at the Lord's feet? Am I opening my Bible? Am I continuing? Or do I need to resume and continue that again? You know, that's one thing that we have to constantly work on. You know, I find that the main thing that nurtures me and keeps me on the path and brings me back to the place that God wants me to be is His Word. And I find that the only thing that really soothes my dissatisfaction, the only thing that really soothes my grief, the only thing that really soothes my anger, my loneliness, my frustration, whatever emotions that you want to put there, I absolutely believe that the emotions are the heart cry of the soul that God wants to answer and He wants to help with. And I find that there's nothing else besides God's Word and Him speaking to me that brings me back to that place. And it can work like this. It can be something I read. It can be my wife saying, "Hey, remember, you wanted to walk in the Spirit." Oh, man. It, just gentle, just because I told her to do that. When I go on this flesh journey and try to solve things in the flesh, and I get too upset, just remind me. Just say, "Remember, walk in the Spirit." And boy, it brings me back. It's where we look for answers. Continue in His Word. Mary, you know what she did? She chose that good part. And sometimes we're so busy trying to solve everything. And it would be solved if we just sat down, submitted to the Lord and said, "God, can you speak to me about what's going on in my life?" And something will come from His Word. It's the only thing that can bring me back. And it keeps faith alive. And it soothes you. Look at John chapter 15. Continue in His Word. John chapter 15. And we'll look. Here's another thing God wants us to continue in. Look at verse 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. As the Father loved me..." Think about that. How did God the Father love Jesus? Without reserve. Did He not? Then look at this. This is precious. "So have I loved you. Just like my Father loved me. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased with. So I have loved you." Then look what He says. "Continue in my love." Do you remember the love that the Lord first showed you when you got saved? You need to continue in that same love. It's not performance-based Christianity. It's not. You have to continue in that love. My Father loves me. He saved me. He continues to save me. He continues to help me. And that can be difficult for a lot of people. You know? Lately I've heard a lot of people say things like this. "I don't see how God can love me." And I say, well, number one, it's not based on you. Love, God's love is not a statement on who you are. It's a statement on who Jesus is. And God made you, and you would not even exist if He didn't love you. The very fact that you're breathing shows that He loves you. And you should continue in that love and remind yourself of it. And if you can't accept God's love and you look at yourself and say, "I don't understand how God could love me," you need to just believe what Jesus said and understand the love is based on His shed blood. You know, somebody said to me the other day, "I'll never know if you love me unless you stop a bullet for me." I said, "Well, Hopefully you'll never know then. But I said, you know who did stop a bullet for you? You know who died for you? Jesus, and you still don't accept His love. So I don't think that it would make any difference because it's already happened. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for my friends. You are my friends. Okay? He says, look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, Acts chapter 13 and verse 42, I don't know if I gave you the reference. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. So they're hearing the gospel. And they say, we want to hear this again the next Sabbath. And when the congregation of the Jews was broken up and many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city came together to hear the Word of God. Continue in the grace of God. The grace of God is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's the things that God gave you, that He paid for, and He supplied you, and it's the ability to face your trials and face them with meekness and face them doing the right thing. Okay? Grace is the power of God, and it's what God gives you to help you deal with the sin and suffering that we have to fight against every day. The grace of God. And He says, hey, we're going to meet again next week, and for the next 7 days, I want you to continue in the grace of God. And guess what happened when they continued in the grace of God? Well, the whole city came out because they saw the grace of God all the week at work. So whatever help God gives you tonight, continue in that grace. You keep continuing it. Continue in the grace of God. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And this is a passage about nations and about the Gentile nation and about the Jews being cut off, and it's about the promise of the restoration of Israel. But look what he says within that context. He says in verse 18, boast not against the branches. So what that means is, don't say, like so many people say today, the Jews are nothing. So many people talk disparagingly about them. He said, don't boast yourself against them. He said, if thou boast and thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. He said, remember that the Gentile church grew out of the root of Israel. He said, don't forget that. And he said this, thou wilt then say the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken on off, and thou shouldest stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, if He didn't spare His own people, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Now, this is talking about nations. It's not talking about individual salvation. And you know what happened is God stopped dealing for a time with the Jews. And Paul said, I'm going to the Gentiles. And you look at the movement of the Lord through history, church history, it's been primarily with the Gentiles. But you know what they have done? They've forgot it. And you know what? It's going to happen. God's going to go back again, and He's going to start dealing with Israel again. But the thing that we can take here is God has been good to you. Continue in that goodness. It blows my mind. God, people will mess up and they'll pray and, God, have mercy on me, help me. And God comes in and He helps them and they don't get the DUI on their record because God had mercy. Continue in His goodness. If God's given you a chance and He's given you a second chance and He's been good to you, continue in His goodness. Continue in that path that He's opened up for you. Alright, let's see what else should we continue in. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Continue in the goodness. God's helped you repent. Make a new start. Put some things away. Continue in the goodness. You know, I am amazed that when people are suffering and when they're scared, they will promise God the moon. But many times, unfortunately, they don't continue in His goodness. And I always say, well, wait. Don't be rash with your mouth. Don't vow something. It's better not to vow than defer not to pay it, you know? God, if you just give me that job, I'll tithe 50%. And then they get the job and they don't even tithe 10%. I'm like, this seems kind of dangerous to me, you know? Because it's mocking God. All right, so he says this. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2. So we need to continue to stand and protect the truth. He says, I went up by revelation, Paul did, and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, the leaders, lest by any means I should run in vain. And so they didn't stop me and I didn't embarrass them. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came and privily despised our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And so we have to continue to stand for the spirit of freedom and the spirit of liberty. If Christ made you free, don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. And we can't give in to the legalistic subjections of some people or the preferences of people that we might make them happy. But you know what happens when that happens? The truth of the gospel doesn't continue with other people. So we have to do that, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So we need to live our life in a way that the influence of the gospel might continue to go forth. That the help of the gospel might continue to go forth. People comment, they say, this is a friendly place. This is a welcoming place. We need to continue that, that the truth of the gospel might still go forth and not hinder what God is trying to do. Okay? Here's another big one. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Colossians 1:21. He says this, and you, which were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He hath reconciled. So you were lost, and you thought God was your enemy. It wasn't true, but it was in your mind because of your wicked works. So He reconciled you. He brought you to Him in the body of His flesh through death to present you. Why did He do that? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Continue in the faith. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Onward, upward. Okay? Sometimes there's setbacks. But it should never be, it should be continually growing in your Christian life. You should be closer to the Lord today than you were this time last year. You should grow and continue in the faith. How do you be a good testimony after years and years and years, mistake after mistake? You just have to continue. And when you continue, you will outlive your enemies. You will outlive the naysayers. And people will find out that you are faithful. You have to continue. You got to continue. You just have to keep on going. Most of the time, most of your problems, you will outgrow them if you continue. A baby, hopefully when he becomes a teenager, doesn't need diapers. He outgrew his problems. And you know what happens with young men and they're facing that battle with lust? I said, you got to continue. You got to keep going. You got to keep growing in the Lord. And you know what eventually happens? They outgrow the problem and they learn how to keep it at bay. Somebody asked me the other day, I said, I describe it like this from the perspective as a young man. I'm going through this battle and I'm shooting and I'm getting shot and I'm getting blown up by grenades and I'm getting and I'm dragging myself through and I'm getting back up and I'm getting back up and I'm going and I'm going and I'm falling and I'm, and eventually I break through. And now I'm on the wall and the battle's raging, but every once in a while I'm like, you stay back over there. But the battle's not the same because I grew and went through it. You gotta grow through it. You gotta go through it. Continue. You know, on this note, because he says here, you don't turn there, but Philippians 1:25, he said, I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance of faith. And he talks about continuing with the brethren, continuing in the faith. Here's one thing that we need to be understanding about. So when you cut off one of your digits, you know, there's a 6-hour window where that gets reattached or it'll never reattach to the body. If you ice it, maybe there can be 24 hours. And one of the mistakes I have made when people leave is I've let too much time go by and they're never able to reattach. Not to this body or anybody. So that time is critical that we need to help and try to find the body part and sew it back on, so it can continue receiving what it needs. So, you continue. Continue. Look at 2 Timothy 3:14. You guys are doing good. 2 Timothy. So he says, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. There's no room for double-mindedness. There's no room to be tossed to and fro. You know, one thing I admired about my father is that he was wrong in a lot of things, but he was consistently wrong. My dad was not a Methodist one day and a Seventh-day Adventist the next day and a Baptist the next day and this the next day. He had his ideas and his beliefs. He could back them up. And a lot of people did not know how to combat that. I didn't even know how to do that as a young man. And I said, how are you going to tell me I'm wrong when you know nothing? You can't combat the scriptures I'm giving you. It's not even worth arguing with you. You so lack intelligence. That's what he would tell me. And he would stick to it, and I would watch him argue with people on these points my entire life. And he never moved. He was wrong, but he was consistently wrong. How that helped me is when I found the truth and I started believing the truth, there's all kinds of people that would come by and try to take it from me. And I say, well, your position's not any better, so I'm going to hold on to mine. And I just kept going and going and going. And I said, if the Lord shows me that this is wrong and I have the wrong understanding of it, I will listen to him. But until I have that, I'm going to hold on to this and I'm going to keep going until I prove that it's wrong. And I'm not just going to go from this one to this one to this one, because I saw that all my life. And I remember there was a point where I was sitting in my office and I read a verse here and I said, whoa! If that's true, then that thing I taught wasn't true. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, you're my teacher. And I'll follow you. And I thought that everything was going to change. But you know what I found? There were some subtle changes. There were some minor things that were wrong that I had to fix, but a lot less changed than what I thought. And I've known many people that have left. They've learned things about the Independent Baptist movement that they didn't like, and so they left and they ran off somewhere else. And you know what they found out? These people have problems too. But now I don't have my buddies anymore. And I feel all alone. And you know what they tell me? The fellowship's not the same as it was. Because we went together. We fought together. And now I'm with these people where our mindsets are so different. And I still stand with the things that I didn't like, but I ran away. I remember talking about this to Pastor Shemesh, and he said, brother, he said, they have problems too. He said, you're not going anywhere better. He said, I'm going to dance with the ones I came with. And he said this, he said, you've come too far and you've invested too much. Just find the problems and fix the problems, but don't leave your people. And you know what I came up with after that? Here's what I believe is so important that came from the Independent Baptist movement. Number one, the Bible is true. It's true. If it says it, it's true. Number two, if you're not living for God, you're a loser. I need to find a better way to say it. Okay? But if you're not living for God, you're a loser. You have missed your existence. If every day of your life you don't wake up wanting to please God and trying to live for God, you have missed the point of your existence. You are throwing your life away. You are a loser. You're just wasting air. Okay? The other thing is if you are not trying to get the gospel to people, you are a loser. Okay? The other thing is, this is the truth. And I am going to tell it to you in love, but I am not going to tiptoe through the tithers. The truth is the only thing that can help you. And I will be kind, but I will give you the truth. And the other thing that I think is so important that came from our movement is this. Not only am I responsible to tell the gospel to my neighbors and my family and friends and people I meet, but we as a church are collectively responsible to try to get the gospel to the othermost parts of the world and to partner with missionaries and help them to start churches, because the heart of God is reaching people. Amen. And God cares about those people too. Yes. And so that's what I brought away from it. That's what I will stand on and I've taken away from it. But continue in the things that you have learned and don't be tossed to and fro. And you can write these other references down. We don't have enough time to go through them. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer. Boy, that's so important. Take 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. That's kind of what we talked about. And then the last one I have written down is Acts 26:22. I continue unto this day witnessing to small and great. Isn't that a great verse? I continue witnessing to this day to small and great. I don't care if it's the king. I don't care if it's Felix and Agrippa. I'm going to tell them. And you know what? I'm going to tell the small person too. Every person needs the Lord, and I will witness to every one of them. To this day, I continue in that. And those are some things I believe God wants us to continue in. All right. Lord, I thank You, Father, for this time that we've had. And I pray that You will help us to continue in the things You want us to continue in, and be a blessing to those around us, Father. And we love You. Thank You for this truth. And I pray that tonight we would let brotherly love continue. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed.